For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 171, Marv Albert in a Can.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
I'm Blue Onyx.
And before we get into the movies, the music, the sports, and the video games, a lot of shit happened this one week alone. A lot of really, I won't say God, oh, horrible, awful shit, but just a lot of bad shit. So bad of shit that a simple, oh, for fuck's sake,
yes,
just doesn't warrant it. And this is all just for one week. One week. This
how about oh, for fuck's sake?
No, Blue Onyx. We're going to have to go back. Way back. Just, we're going to have to go back to the days when we were at WMWM Salem.
They're going away. Yeah.
The world to know it. Politics, celebrities, religious zealots, racist people, stupid people, and even the morning trend cannot escape from Blue's Conglomeration Zone! Watch out!
That's right, bastards and wenches. The Aggravation Zone is back!
I'm kind of shocked and surprised. I haven't heard that one for a while.
Does it feel good?
Yes.
It does, doesn't it?
It's all warm and tingly inside. Or that could be ball cancer. I don't know. Anyways.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
So, number one on my oh, for fuck's sake. And it deals with a big video game that just came out. A video game that I've been waiting for a couple of years to come out called Ni No Kuni Wrath of the White Witch. So they came out with two versions of this game. One regular version, and then the super awesome special collector's edition known as the Wizard's Edition.
Okay.
Which I pre-ordered. It had a full-on replica of the magic book used in the game, a stuffed toy of Mr. Drippy. Mr. Drippy. He's kind of like, he's this Welsh, weird, Pikachu-like character who's got like this lantern that's hanging off his nose like a nose ring.
Okay, I'll call him Mr. Piddlesworth.
Okay. Came with a soundtrack to the video game, some DLC, some art cards, and a few other things, all for $100.
Okay.
And I did the math and everything, and that's a good price for what they were asking for, what's going to be coming with it, because the magic book is like over 300 pages long. So it's like a big, massive thing. And you know me, I rarely ever put down for like collector's edition stuff.
No, that's me.
I know that too, but the only time I ever did it in the past was for Batman Arkham City.
That was a good buy.
Yes, it was a good buy. And this
I'm
was supposed
kind of jealous that you have that, though. I don't have it.
Yeah. I actually think I might have saw one at a GameStop for like $30.
Still, I don't have the fucking money. Shut up.
For a low price. But anyway, they had the first pre-order back in August, but I missed out on it because it went very quickly. But last week, or two weeks ago when you hear this podcast show, Namco Bandai had said that there were more copies to be released in a second pre-order. So I canceled my pre-order that was on Amazon and went to Namco Bandai to pre-order this because it was the only place where you could get this special collector's edition. You couldn't get it anyplace else. Only through the website.
Okay.
On the day of the release, Namco Bandai had announced that too many people had pre-ordered this collector's edition, and had started canceling orders left and right because of it.
Don't tell me they canceled your order.
Yes, they canceled my order. Okay. They canceled my order, and they canceled a bunch of my friends' order. A lot of people and a lot of my friends pre-ordered this as well, and they got it canceled.
When did you pre-order it, and when was it supposed to be coming out?
It was supposed to come out last Tuesday.
Okay.
So it would be this, you know, this Tuesday when we're recording. And they had put the charge on my credit card, so okay, it looks like I am getting it, I'm safe. And then 2 days later, we regret to announce that your order has been canceled and be refunded.
Did you get your money back yet?
Yes, it went on there.
Okay, as long as that happened.
But here's the screwed up thing. A lot of people that pre-ordered during the second window, like myself, had it canceled. But a lot of people who ordered it back in August had it canceled as well.
Yeah.
And then there were some who ordered last minute.
Yeah.
They got theirs.
That doesn't make any sense.
Does not. And then there's this Play Canada account that's on eBay who bought apparently like tons of these back in August when there wasn't a limit.
That I call shenanigans. Usually if it's eBay, don't trust it.
Yeah.
I did that with when the Xbox, I think not the Elite, but the newest one was coming out, and it was all sold out and whatnot. I put money down on it on eBay, and the guy went walking with my money.
Yikes.
And I mean like $350 worth, so.
Unfortunately, each of these pages that this guy put up has legit pictures of them having this product.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
So, an official statement was released from Namco Bandai just last night, or Friday night. Namco Bandai Games America is not, nor has it ever, worked with or in conjunction with the EV seller known as Play Canada to sell units of Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch, Wizard Edition, at a premium price on eBay. Because there were a lot of people who were thinking that them or the people who distribute for Namco Bandai, Digital River, had sold off a bunch of copies to this Play Canada dude, and the dude's like charging like instead of $100, like $300 for it.
Yeah, that's
for the asking price.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm. According to our records, this individual group of individuals purchased Ni No Kuni during the Ni No startup promotion period, which is August 2012, at which time no limits were placed on how many units an individual could order. So to compensate, as a tiny light at the end of the tunnel, unfortunately, they can't make any more collector's editions, but they're going to be sending everyone who was affected by this a free hardbound version of the 400-page strategy guide for Ni No Kuni.
Well, then there you go.
But let me just say this. I know Namco Bandai, I know there was a limited supply, but if you had simply done a goddamn head count on the ones you had, you wouldn't have had this problem in the first place. And you shouldn't have done this second pre-order if you've done that, because then a lot of people wouldn't have gotten screwed out of the pre-order DLC like I did.
Yeah.
And it's just really aggravating to me that this would happen. And they also gave people who are affected by this a $20 coupon to use in their store, but I'm sorry, I don't think I can trust them enough again to order something from their store and worry that something like this will happen.
Yeah, again. $20 isn't good enough.
I know. But but the strategy guide, it may be a bit okay because the hardbound thing, I think I saw the paperback version at Best Buy for like $30. The hardbound one must be worth a lot more than that.
Maybe.
So, that's the first oh for fuck's sake out of the way. Second oh for fuck's sake, the Patriots blowing the AFC Championship.
Well, and this is a thing, I've been talking to a lot of people like that, including my girlfriend, because she's very passionate about the Patriots, and I'm so happy that I have a girlfriend that's so happy about sports. But, yeah, she was definitely pissed off about the whole thing, and there was passionate talks about it.
Yes.
So, more or less, what I have to say is they fucked up, and it's getting to the point where they're almost turning into, like, kind of the Red Sox now. Like, how they were, you know, they were good, and now they're just a bunch of pretty boys that go on the field. They win a good amount of games just to get into the playoffs, and then they choke when it really counts.
Yes.
So it's not pretty, and probably don't want to keep talking about it. That's just one of my things. But Brady getting that $10,000 fine kind of sucked, but hey.
Wait a minute. $10,000 fine?
Yeah. Remember that slide he did?
Mm-hmm.
Where he had his leg up?
Yeah.
They charge him for $10,000 for that as endangering another player.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, it's not like Brady can fucking not fork that out in 2 seconds and be like, oh, yeah, here's 10 grand.
Right, I know.
He could do that in a blink of an eye. He's good.
I know, but in this game alone, Pats blew too many plays. Brady could barely even do a completed throw.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I know that there was a win factor, but the Pats should have fit that into their gameplay style. They played in worse conditions. Remember 2002, when they played when the whole entire stadium was filled with snow?
Yeah, but the only other thing is that was a time when there's an X factor. X factor is we hadn't won really anything too big back in that time. Mm-hmm. Like we never were able to get past that point where we were able to get into, let alone the playoffs, just like get up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, the X factor was we were the low man on the totem pole, and we were able to pull ourselves up and show that we could do it.
Yes.
But now, seeing that we're always the upper hand now, it seems that, oh yeah, it's the Patriots, they'll do it.
Yes.
More or less. And now, because of the fact that we don't have that underdog, mentality anymore, that's why I felt like with the Ravens and stuff like that, especially with whatever the fuck his name is.
Ray Lewis.
Yeah, Ray Lewis, seeing that he's going to be going out, this is his retirement year, what better way to go out than on top? He's going to try to do his damnedest to get out there and go on top, and more or less my concept is I'm not going to be able to watch the Super Bowl.
I just want to see him I just want to see the 49ers win, honestly. I don't want to see Ray Lewis win.
Yeah, but that's also another scary factor is that kid is their quarterback for the San Francisco. Brand spanking new, he's a newbie. And well, he's doing
just
this
like Tom Brady. Well, Tom Brady was back in 2001.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, when it comes to Patriots, I think it's kind of time to us to find a new quarterback, considering how Tom Brady was playing.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, same with Manning and all those other fuckers. They need to. This is the concept of a franchise quarterback, and that's what they need to maybe get away from for a little bit.
Right.
They need to take a break from that because of the fact they need to let somebody else come in. Not like let's say like Tebow, that was a bad one. Yes, he was good in college football, and then he came into the actual NFL, and I don't know. I feel like he didn't do what he was supposed to. So
agreed,
he's a wicked fuck up.
And then there was the whole no Gronkowski.
Well, yeah, that was another thing where he shouldn't have been playing in the first place. On that, just when he rolled into the rolled off to the field, and he rolled on that arm, and that's what caused him to be fucked. He couldn't, that was just a really bad call on their part. And, I mean, he is a great player. It's just the only problem is the injury aspect. This happened last year, too, with his leg or ankle or whatever the fuck mm-hmm. it was. And it just feels like, you could have, could have maybe given him a little bit more rest. And that's been one of the mentalities since, back with the old Green Bay Packers, where most of the players were playing with like dislocated knees or whatever, their leg could be falling off and they'd still go out and play. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's not always the best thing because they're like, oh, why didn't you cover that guy? Well, my leg was kind of falling off. I'm sorry. I couldn't do a fucking thing about it. The guy, he has that whole capability of a body to move, and I don't. So more or less, when Gronkowski rolled in his arm, when you saw that pain in his face, I knew he was done. So
yes,
which that was a really shitty move.
But it was a really really shitty move, but I think it's just high time that the Patriots look at their lineup and say it's time to cut out the old guys and bring in some new blood.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I could still stay with Will Fork. I'm happy with him.
I like Will Fork. Welker needs to work more on his catching because
he's a great football player just in general. But yeah, I mean, lately he hasn't been able to live up to par. But I mean, some people have their years. I'm telling you, like, that's the thing. They could be up, or it could just be the end of their career just in general. So you never know. He might come back and he might be a freaking amazing person. But
yes.
I don't know. Is there contracts involved? I haven't been able to keep up with that.
Don't know if there's any contracts involved. I think it's too early.
We picked up somebody recently, though, too, but I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm sorry. I wish I was more prepared about that. but more or less, it's one of those things where I kind of wanted to back away from the Patriots and be like, you know what? It was not as solid of a year because of how we started in the first place, and then to get ourselves going the way we did. And to get ourselves as far as we did, I was pretty impressed, but it just got to the point where that was an ugly last game. Okay. I'd rather have kept that closer. But
all right.
We can move on.
Okay. Agenda number three, or item number three. The TV show Glee fucks over Jonathan Colton.
Wait, what?
Really great artist. And someone we got to interview, Mr. Jonathan Colton.
Yeah, I know. I know who we're talking about how did Glee, like,
okay,
fuck him over.
So, in 2005, Jonathan Colton does a cover of Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back with a new arrangement that he wrote. And it was a hit on the internet. A lot of people listened to it, and it was really cool. Well, last week, Glee decided to do their own version of Baby Got Back. Now, what you are about to hear is both the Jonathan Colton version and the Glee version together, playing at the same time, and then you're going to hear one version, and then another version. It's just over a minute long. I just want you to listen to this. This is both songs together at the same time. This is just Jonathan Colton. This is Glee version. Together. Don't they sound exactly the same?
Pretty close, but Jonathan Colton started singing that at one point.
That was the Glee person.
That was Glee person?
Yeah.
So he added more shit?
No. Well, this is what's going on with this. Apparently, Glee just ripped the mix of the Jonathan Colton version and just added their vocals to it and refuses to give Jonathan Colton credit for the arrangement. There's no credit on the show, no credit on any site, and no credits on the iTunes page where you can buy the Glee version.
No shit.
And you know how do you know that they stole this from him? Because in the Jonathan Colton version, he says Johnny C's in trouble to replace his name from Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah.
In the Glee version, also says Johnny C's in trouble.
Okay. Well, there you go then.
Now, here's a quote from Jonathan Colton on his blog. They got in touch with my peers to basically say that they're within their legal rights to do this and that I should be happy for the exposure, even though they do not credit me and have not even publicly acknowledged that it's my version, so you know it's kind of a secret exposure. While they appeared not to be legally obligated to do any of these things, they did not apologize, offer to credit me, or offer to pay me, and indicated that this was their general policy in regards to covers of covers. It does not appear that I have a copyright claim, but I'm still investigating the possibility, which I consider likely, that they use some or all of my audio.
Yeah, you can sue the fuck out of them.
Yeah. I mean, you are supposed to give credit to the original artist, of course. So you give credit to Sir Mix-a-Lot. But if you're doing a cover of somebody else's arrangement, you're supposed to credit the arrangement to that other person.
Yeah.
Case in point with Dropkick Murphys, who we'll be talking about later on, whenever they do a cover of Woody Guthrie, mm-hmm. like the song Shipping Off to Boston, which is a Woody Guthrie song,
mm-hmm.
they give the written credit to Woody Guthrie, but because they wrote the arrangement, it also says arrangement by Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah.
So nowhere on the Glee site, on YouTube, on iTunes, anywhere Glee official related, does the phrase arrangement by Jonathan Coulton appear.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they're screwed.
You see, Glee has always been a shit show that does really shitty covers and push horrible stereotypes of minorities, disabled people, people in the LGBT community, and giving people a total falsehood of what high school is all about.
Yeah, especially with all the acapella stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that these groups that they're trying to portray in there should seriously boycott Glee, as it damages their image more than hurts. And the same can be said about Ryan Murphy's other show, The New Normal, which rips off Modern Family and adds a nasty tone to it. And not a good sort of nasty tone. It's just wrong what they say in that program.
So is that like Tim and Eric's awesome show or something like that? Is it as bad as that? Yes. Just say it.
Yes. So, to blatantly rip off a great cover and take a massive dump on it by not just copying it all verbatim, but not giving proper credit where credit is due, is outright illegal.
Yep, and it's bullshit.
Like I said, Jonathan Coulton did cover Sir Mix-a-Lot first, but he wrote the arrangement, ergo he is legally obliged to a credit. And Ryan Murphy is just this type of self-centered egomaniac who becomes a total bitch if he doesn't get his way. Or when he does and he doesn't get proper credit, he tells the people who deserve the credit to go fuck themselves. Remember when he lashed out at Kings of Leon and Damon Albarn for not letting Glee cover their songs?
Yeah.
And then remember when he horribly accused Kings of Leon of a comment he claimed was homophobic? And really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just dealt with Ryan Murphy wearing women's clothing. It was a funny quote that Kings of Leon said. And it was nowhere near homophobic. It's just... Glee should have died 5 episodes in. It should have been one of those shows that got canceled. I know I have friends who will, like, kick my ass...
My girlfriend will kick my ass.
Your girlfriend will kick... She loves
you? She'll fucking hang you.
Okay.
But more or less, I'm just saying, I do kind of... I have a feeling towards it that a lot of the stuff that it is kind of racist, it's kind of messed up how they've done stuff. I sat through watching the Britney Spears episode 1, and I thought, I was like, wow, this is what these people are watching on a nightly basis. I mean, like... I remember back in, like, when I was in 5th grade, and people were watching, oh, God, what was that fucking show with the religious aspect and all that other stuff, and it had Jessica Biel in it, and, fuck, it was just, like, everybody was just talking about it, and that's one of those things where I could never get on the same level.
Oh, Seventh Heaven!
Yeah, thank you. Seventh Heaven is the one that really, kind of crowned the... I'm not going to watch that anymore kind of phase for me.
Yes.
Like, I never got to see Boy Meets World. Yeah, and people are going to fucking crucify me for that. But
they'll probably crucify you for not watching the new Girl Meets World that's coming out with the original cast.
Yeah, so more or less that's what I'm saying is that they come out with these, things that that certain people are going to like and whatnot, and then they keep on trying to drag their friends into it, and it doesn't work. I mean,
and then rivalries are built up, and then one of the rivalries is like seriously walking down the street corner with their knives and getting ready for gang fight, and then the Glee people come in doing the whole West Side Story.
That's the whole thing that I'm saying is that it was probably artistic back a couple of years ago, but now it's
shit.
It's beating the dead horse over and over again, and I kind of dislike it.
You know when I figured out when the show just really, really should have died was when they took a wonderful property, like the Rocky Horror Picture Show,
okay,
and just shit all over that as well.
I mean, yeah.
They did a whole episode where they were trying to pay homage to it, only it just made it bad. I mean, you changed the lyrics. You do not say Sweet Transvestite from Sensational Transylvania. It's fucking Transsexual Transylvania.
Yeah, well, there's only so much you can get away with on national TV, but yeah, that's just me.
They've said Transsexual on network television before.
Yeah, well, this is some other different crowd that they're trying to get under. Remember, it's kind of like a PG aspect, if I remember correctly. It's a PG or PG-13, I don't know. But that's one of those things. It's how the networks run it. It's Fox, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why.
It's Fox.
That's the thing. You just mentioned Fox at the end of it. It's just one big running gag. That's what, you know, the same thing with Family Guy.
They're and like,
thank you, Fox, for helping us, you know, providing us, even though you suck. You know, that's what they do. So more or less, for them to keep doing stuff like that, and to cancel all, like, good shows that are coming on. And stuff
yes,
like that.
I can't believe they canceled Ben and Kate. That was such a great TV show, and they just canceled it just a couple days ago.
Yeah, and then the other thing is I finally got into I just saw the new, you know, series starting now, The Following.
Yes.
And I'm already captivated by it, and I feel like probably by the end of the year they'll already cancel it. Because it's, you know, it's Kevin Bacon, a lot of people die. There's shit going on in that thing that I didn't realize was going to happen, but yeah, but I'm intrigued by it. But that was like the other one where.
But then most of the people are gonna be like, "This is making me think I'm gonna change the channel."
Oh yeah, but I mean, that's like the horror story, American Horror Story or something like that.
Which is also created by fucking Ryan Murphy.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where depending on who is it running it, whatever, it's gonna go like just imploding on itself, or it's going to actually catch like a wildfire, and that's yes. my issue is because of the fact that a lot of people nowadays their mindset is just completely wrong, and I feel that Idiocracy is setting in, and I will explain even further on the movie 43 later on.
Okay,
because of the fact that so let's move on.
All right,
I'm tired of talking about these motherfuckers.
Okay.
I can't give them any more credit. I can't.
Well, let's just say that Glee needs to give credit where credit is deserved. Give Jonathan Coulton his royalties for the arrangement and everything. Do what's right, or else the geeks are going to attack.
Yeah, and don't hold it off on court. Just give them the fucking money. It's a lot cheaper.
Yes. Now, the final thing under our little special aggravation zone is something that you yourself witnessed at a Celtics game that you went to.
Oh, yeah. I was able to go to the Celtics game against Celtics versus Knicks, and it was an awesome game. It was a close game. And, you know, that was the thing. Like, I'm really good at listening for stuff, you know, that I would be out of place. And nothing was out of place. I mean, it wasn't like I was looking for it, but I can usually find out when shit is out of place. I mean, how many times have you been in the room and I've called something out on, like, movies or music or something that you're like, that doesn't seem right, that doesn't, you know.
Right.
Nothing was wrong with whatever when I was there. I mean, they did have a couple of things where, by the end, because of the fact that they were trying to get the crowd pumped up, they had, like, what do you call
it? T-shirt cannons?
No, I wish they had t-shirt cannons. No, the cheerleaders came out and threw t-shirts. That was, like, probably the third quarter.
Did they do the thing where they throw down, like, parachutes of stuff, too?
No. It's not like that, no.
Okay.
No, what I'm talking about is the big screen. They had, like, you know, KG or they had Paul Pierce come up on the thing and say, hey, come on, let's get together. You know, cheer us and all this other stuff. So people started getting up and cheering and cheering and cheering and stuff like that. This is what I think Marv Albert was talking about. Marv Albert accused the TD Bank Garden for pumping in crowd noise to get the crowd pumped up, which is total asinine bullshit. I was watching the whole thing, besides witnessing a fight in the starting of the actual game. It was scary because of the fact that it felt like there was almost more Knicks than there was Celtics fans there. And that was kind of scary in general because it was just like, what the fuck? I mean, I know New York is a train trip away or a bus trip away, but what the hell is this?
Didn't the same thing happen at the Pats game against the Ravens? It sounded like there were a lot more Ravens fans.
Yeah, there's probably a lot more Raven fans than there were Pats fans. And it's kind of a scary thing because of the fact that a lot of the, you know, a lot of the people that were there, they were, all they were seeing was blue and orange, like, when I was looking on to the crowd and stuff like that, and I went, this is just wrong. Mm-hmm. And then whenever Nick scored, you hear, rah! And, like, a whole, like, group of people come up, and they're like, what the hell? I was like, and then more or less when we started getting into our whole thing and whatnot, we started hearing hearing the Celtics fans get a little bit more amped and amped. Yes. And amped. But that's the thing. There's going to be a difference between, you know, pitches and sounds and stuff like that. See, their speaker systems are up in the ceilings and whatnot. So for the sound to come down, that has a different travel. And for me to sit there and go, I know where that sound, I know where the sound's coming from. It's coming from below because you feel the rush of like the whole crowd screaming. Mm-hmm. So for Marv Albert, this dumb fat fuck that he is, to say that you know the Celtics were trying to pump more audio into the actual place that wasn't needed.
Yes,
it's asinine.
It is.
He needs, and like this is one of those things. He either had his hearing aid jacked up too high. Or the only other thing is, because of that it might have caused a delay, but the only other thing is he's old and he needs to get out of the whole industry. I think he's done.
Yeah, go out, retire, go back to your sadomasochistic ways that you once were doing back in the 90s.
Yeah, and then the other thing that was funny that one of my other friends mentioned, he's actually a Knicks fan.
Mm-hmm.
So more or less, he was going for the Knicks. So for him to go and do that, that's probably because that's his own bias, which they're not supposed to have.
Yes.
So he should just get out of the game. More that's mm-hmm. he's violating his own, you know, stance as a reporter.
Yeah.
So
leave it to Bob Costas.
Yeah, Bob Costas can call it, especially yes. with his excited nipples. And then, but for the most part, yeah, I feel like they need to, you know, get some new bloods in there and stuff like that. I mean. That's the thing, even with Scalabrine, as he has been doing announcing lately, mm-hmm. even though he was a Celtics, you know, he's been able to, you know, call it pretty fair from my point of view, and he's yes. a funny son of a bitch while doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they need to do is they need to find those guys that have no bias at all and can just go in and actually just do what they're supposed to do instead of accuse. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I have to say about Marv Albert. He can go kiss my ass.
Okay. So that concludes our trip to the aggravation zone, and doesn't it feel good to get it all off of your chest?
Yeah, as long as there's no shitting involved.
No shame involved?
No shitting.
Oh, no shitting involved.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, staying on to the subject of sports, some really special news just came out just a couple days ago when it was announced that Pedro Martinez will be coming back to the Boston Red Sox as a special assistant to the general manager.
Which I'm kind of shocked about, but yeah.
So, the quote from Pedro says, "It is an honor to be back with the Red Sox and help in any way I can. I am grateful to our leaders, I believe in them, and I thank them for allowing me to return to the field and help us win again. My heart will always live in Boston." And you know, I have a feeling that Pedro will do a good job, especially with helping in the pitching division. He could showcase on the mound like what he learned from his achievements and his mistakes as well.
Yeah.
People can take from his experience of when he was at his A game to when he was tired out. Especially look at what happened with the 2004 World Series. You saw Pedro at the top of his game, and you also saw him when he was starting to feel fatigued and such.
Yeah, exactly. But as long as he's not trying to teach any, like, you know, beauty tips about making the players any prettier, we're all set
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I hope it lightens up the bench again. Remember how it was back when Pedro was on the team?
He's a little firecracker, yeah. So that might be a little bit of what we need on the bench.
They need a little bit of a loosen up. Remember when they duct taped him to the pole?
Yeah, that was funny.
Yes.
I did enjoy that. He was a human pinata for a day. but no, I mean, yeah, that's one of those things where you need the characteristics of the players that were able to come in there and not just only have a good time, but get done and get down to the brass tacks, get done to the, you know, get done with the business and stuff like that and have a good time while doing it. And that's all I want is the players to come in. I could care if they looked like the ugliest fucking dog in the world. Yep. They could come in, they could play and hit, you know, get on base, do whatever they have to do, do the whole money ball setup, and win the fucking game. That's all I'm looking for, is them to win the fucking games.
Yes.
And get us to where we need to be. Not the prettiest freaking, I don't care, they could be, you know, the freaking transvestite from Rocky Horror. I wouldn't care. I could watch him run around the fucking bases and drag, as long as he was doing his goddamn job. That's what I'm talking about.
Dr. Frankenfurter holding a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Look at him running those heels!
Yeah, exactly.
So he just looks so natural!
So, more or less, it's just one of those things where if bringing him back to help with the pitching and all those other things, I'd be happy. That sounds great.
Yeah.
And hopefully, because I didn't get to watch the town hall for the Red Sox, but it looked like it came out pretty good because, you know, a lot of the people seemed to walk out of there happy, at least when I saw it at the end, but hopefully it wasn't too much of a fluster cluck.
Yeah.
So.
I hope so. I hope it will bring us at least a better season than last year.
Yeah, exactly. So.
I don't think we could get any worse than that.
You never know.
Yeah.
All right, next.
All right, so on to the album. And we mentioned Dropkick Murphys earlier. They just came out with the brand new CD, Signed and Sealed in Blood, their 8th album. And this time, a little bit more straightforward this time. Instead of their previous album, which was the concept album, Going Out in Style.
Yeah, but Going Out in Style was good.
Going Out in Style was great. It was fantastic. I want to see someone take that story, take the music in there, and put it on stage somehow. A fucking Dropkick Murphys musical. I want to see it happen.
Is that kind of like, you know, the whole thing with Green Day there?
Yeah, but better.
Okay.
If they can do Going Out in Style as a musical, if they can do Fucked Up Steven Comes to Life as a musical, I'll be happy.
Okay.
So, you kind of weren't really feeling the opening track of this CD, The Boys Are Back. Even though
that's what they played when the Bruins started and whatnot, and I was kind of like, yeah, The Boys Are Back. The Boys Are Back.
Mm-hmm.
The Boys Are Back again. It's like it kept on repeating it, and it's like, because of the fact that I know the Dropkick Murphys are, you know, righteous and kick-ass when they're doing that whole chant type thing and stuff like that, This one just didn't feel right to me. But for the most part, this is probably going to be played on a lot of fucking, you know, stuff.
Yes.
And it's just, it's going to probably annoy the shit out of you. I'm not going to lie. It
sounds like one of those songs you hear with people are like walking out into the street with baseball bats in hands with the nails inside.
Yeah, that's going up to Boston. That's the other song there.
But it's also the theme song that we use on our show for Boston as well for a little bit.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is that song.
It's like a spiritual sequel of sorts.
God damn it. I'm going to kill you.
I'm sorry. Damn. I like the song. But there were other good songs on there. There was Prisoner's Song. It was kind of like this whole sea shanty in vein of old school Pogues.
I love the Rose Tattoo one. That was a good one.
You see, it's a good song. I just don't think that should have been their first single. They should have used something more like Prisoner's Song as their first single.
What? Out in the for people to listen to on the
radio? Yeah, the first, like on the radio.
Sometimes it's not even them that gets to pick the friggin' song, man, to get put out on the radio.
But it's their label. They own the label.
That doesn't mean they own the radio station.
No, they... Remember how it was at the radio station? They would send us promo singles saying, hey, here's their first single off of the next album.
Yeah, and how many times did we listen to them? How many times?
A couple times.
Yeah, exactly. So more or less what we did was we tried to figure out what song we liked on the album and then played it.
Yes, when the album actually came out.
Yeah, so for them to send us the singles, that's it. But for the most part, the radios could actually go out to the store, buy it themselves with the, you know, the parental guidance one, and have it all edited and stuff like that, and play whatever the hell song they want.
Yeah.
Because you know somebody's going to call in and they go, oh, I want to hear one of the other songs from this album.
Yes.
And they'll be able to do that, but more or less that's how it goes.
Because there was a Prisoner's Song, I like Burn, that sound was a fun track, and you kind of had this sort of familiarity when you were hearing the Christmas song, The Season's Upon Us.
Yeah, that's my life in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Was it Out of the Heads? Out on the Town. Because of the fact there was the one that they were talking about, sipping out of... No, wait, is that Cullen's?
Yeah, it was Cullen's funeral one?
Yeah, that one. They were singing about something about chaining the baseball, but that sounded like one of the other songs we mentioned earlier there.
Yeah.
I was kind of... some of the songs almost sound alike, but, I mean, more or less...
Well, that's their style.
That's their style. I mean...
Because Dropkick Murphys, they're an Irish punk... They're Irish folk punk band with more of an emphasis on the punk.
Yeah.
Whereas Flogging Molly, who we'll be seeing next week, is an Irish folk punk band with more of an emphasis on the folk.
Yeah. Which, it's kind of funny because it's just been kind of one of those carrying on... You know, things that's been happening a lot with the music lately. I mean, you got, who do you got here? You got Mumford & Sons, you got, what?
Avett Brothers.
Yeah, you got a bunch of them doing this, you know, folk style music now.
That was once lost back after World War II. Yeah, it's like true. Bringing back the old and making it new again.
Yeah. And they've done a pretty good job.
Yes. But I feel like altogether this album... Sun, Seal, and Blood, it's pretty good. It's not as good as Going Out in Style.
Yeah.
I would say it's... I think it's sort of like around how... I don't know if you remember the Warriors Code album. It's as good as that one.
Mm, I don't remember that one, but I could probably look it back up.
Right. That's the one where they do the song about Mickey.
Mickey? Or do you mean Tessie?
No, Mickey. Warriors Code.
Oh, okay.
The fighter.
Mickey Ward?
Mickey Ward.
Oh, okay. You should have said Mickey Ward then.
I know. I'm sorry. I just...
Kill you.
I knew it started with a W. Well,
The only other thing was is that there's 12 songs on this album, which is, in my opinion...
That's how many songs they use.
Fair. I mean, look at a lot of the other bands and stuff like that. They're usually able to produce like 18 songs and get, you know, I'll get it up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these CDs, they could take... up to, like, 700 megabytes, mm-hmm. you know? And
but only up to 80 minutes of music.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they could fit so much more on these CDs.
I know.
But, I mean, because of a lot of... Like, I do agree with the Perfect Circle where how a lot of stuff is getting away from the actual plastic aspect and just going online and selling their mm-hmm. songs that way.
Right.
It just seems that it's still... Now it's getting... It's sad to say that CDs are now old-fashioned. As sad as it is.
And what's new? Vinyl records.
Yeah.
But altogether, I can give this maybe a good 4.2 out of 5 for the album. I think it's a good CD. It's,
I think I could seriously say, on my point of view, I liked about 85% of the music that was on there.
So that's about 4.2.
What?
If you like 85% of it,
so
4.2 out of 5.
Wait, I mean, it wasn't done yet.
Oh, okay.
I said 85% of the thing, but it felt like the actual length of each song was kind of short, or also it kind of mended in with the next song. Because I was on a driving trip. I'm driving. And that's the thing, when I'm driving, I'm listening to the music, but I'm also paying attention to the road. But that's one of those things where I like to listen to the music that way, because then you can get into it. So driving from point A, the King's Castle, mm-hmm. to point B, the movie theater, which got us about, what, six of the seven of the songs.
Yeah.
Because we sat there for like maybe a couple more minutes. And then we went in, saw the movie, came out, and the CD finished about not even a third of the way home.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is like the length might have been one of my issues with it, but... I'll just stick a 4 on it. I'll give it a 4.
Okay.
As fair as I possibly be, 4. I like Dropkick Murphys and stuff like that, but more or less that's one of my things. It's like, I need the song lengths to be good. Music was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know, I wasn't as wild with this album yet.
Yeah.
So I'll probably end up listening to it and probably pick and choose one of my favorite songs, because that's usually what I end up doing.
Yeah. And put it onto your Xbox so you can play...
Play whatever video game at whatever time and rock out to the music. That's what I usually do.
Okay. So, now that music is done,
and then,
let's move on to the movie,
And then...
movie 43.
Oh, why?
So,
did you see that guy that was sitting in the seats?
Yes,
that
was down on the left of us. How did he fit in that seat?
Exactly. That's one of those things where how did he fit in the seat? But not only that, how close are we really to Mike Judge's Idiocracy? I mean, That was pathetic. Like, this guy is wearing a Broncos jersey, and his gut, and I mean, I've seen a gut on a person like this before, but this guy sitting down, his gut just was at least 3 feet, high, like, from the seat. There's 3 feet, like, of roundness. I can't believe he could actually see over his stomach just to watch the movie. So, yeah, I couldn't believe that. But then also how they started out this movie, it was definitely strange. It's
So
it's out of the comfort zone.
Yes,
but not in a good way, in the worst way possible.
So it's basically actor Dennis Quaid trying to pitch this movie.
Yes,
but it's really just a series of movies. One's involving Kate Winslet dating Hugh Jackman, but Hugh Jackman has...
Expletive. I don't know. How can we explain that without giving it away?
Let's just say this is Hugh Jackman's most ballsiest movie.
Yeah, I could go with that. That's fine. Yeah.
And then you've got, let's see, Johnny Knoxville and Sean William Scott capturing a leprechaun. You've got Chris Pratt having to poop on Anna Faris to prove his love to her. You've got, what's her name?
Yeah, it's just too many people.
Yeah. How did they get these people? Well, I know how they got these people, but how did they look at this script and say yes to this? How did they get Halle Berry and Stephen Merchant to do all those Truth and Dare stuff?
Because I think probably somebody had a lot of money. And they were saying, we're going to make this most random-ass fucking movie and probably make fun of a lot of part of Hollywood's. So if you wanted to get in your jabs now, before we can't really make any really good decisions, this is your time to shine. And for them to get, like, Halle Berry and, you know, for them to have just done the shit they did to her was just really bad. That I feel bad for, especially because she's going to be doing that new movie, the call. Yeah, that just kind of kills me. Like, her career kind of went downhill.
Mm-hmm. Well, joking aside, she was good in Cloud Atlas.
I loved her in Swordfish.
Yep.
I need them to do another movie of that.
And we want to see her topless again, but not topless in the way that we just saw the move her in this movie.
That wasn't even her boob.
I know that, but I'm just saying. It's kind of like what Farrelly Brothers did with their Something About Mary, with those ugly hag tits.
Yeah, that's what they do best.
Yeah.
But this was only one Farrelly brother, correct?
Yeah, Peter.
Yeah, so more or less...
Bobby wasn't around.
My concept is that seeing that there was only one Farrelly brother, that's why they were all these stories were incomplete, because of the fact that his brother wasn't there to help him complete
it. Well, that's why they got all these other people, like James Gunn and Brett Ratner and a bunch of other directors, too, to help out with this movie.
I don't know. After walking out of the theater on this movie, my brain wanted to implode in on itself. I thought I was going to have another M. Night Shyamalan moment, where I thought I was going to...
I blame the last short. That was just a terrible... That was terrible. That was just the cartoon cat.
Dude, I'm sorry, but I know, like, you were laughing your ass off at a lot of the stuff.
I was. I'll
admit. But the toilet humor aspect is what I saw you laughing at. Simple man.
I know. let me state something.
Even that girl that was in front of us, she was laughing. I was scared.
I know.
I was like, wow, what the hell?
So, let me put it to you this way. Toilet humor in movies and in TV and video games and entertainment, it's funny. But if it's in real life, I don't find it funny. If someone farts in a room, I don't laugh. I think it's gross. But if I'm watching it in a movie or put Harry Hurd in a VR game, I think it's funny. I don't know why I'm able to separate the two. It's just how my brain works. It's like, it's funny in the movie. And then when someone does it in real life, oh God, I'm going to have to smell that now. That's disgusting.
Yeah. I don't know. This, it really was... a sick, sad jab at Hollywood. I think it's just the weakest thing I've ever seen in a long time.
Weakest?
Yeah. And it's just
it was just a way to prove that they were able to get all these high-end actors to come together to create a shit movie.
Yeah.
And I think we've already proven that time and time again. I mean, not to shit on, like, any of, like, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme. I like him.
Yes.
But I'm still worried about seeing a new Universal Soldier movie because it has a lot of great actors and sports-type figures to come together, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure how good it is.
Yes.
So it's like I've been afraid to watch that movie. So it's one of those things where this movie was, yes, the commercial was funny for those couple little things, like when Halle Berry blows out the candles and for that blind kid and... yeah, whatever else was on the commercials, especially with, you know, Gerard, you know,
Butler as the
leprechaun saying that he's gonna...
You see, if they could just take that premise, and if that was just a whole movie, if it was Johnny Knoxville and Sean William Scott trying to capture a leprechaun to get its gold, I would pay money to see that film, because I think it would be hilarious. And just keep the director Brett Ratner, and I think he could make a solid script out of it.
Why do I have a feeling this, like... This is kind of like how they did with...
Grindhouse,
where they had those couple of, like, funny trailers. Like, the only one that they've accomplished that put out after doing that trailer was Machete.
No, and Hobo with a Shotgun.
And... Okay, fine. And Hobo with a Shotgun. Was that in there?
It was in the Canadian version.
See, that's the Canadian version. That was in America, so that...
But it's on the bonus edition of the Blu-ray... Grindhouse DVD.
Yes. I just okay. put you on. So, besides that, they didn't do SS Werewolf Woman or whatever the fuck it was. They didn't do that other one where there was the turkey involved or something like that.
Although Eli Roth has stated that will be his next movie.
God damn it.
We'll be seeing that.
I don't know if I could deal with that. I don't.
We'll be laughing more than...
I don't know. I don't know if I can deal with that one. But I'm just saying that they didn't, you know, like, they haven't really completely put out all that stuff. But I'm saying that if there is some sick bastard that would actually go and watch this movie, and I'm looking at him right here, would take one of the movies, and you know, or segments out of there, and actually try to go and do a running gag with it or something like that... Mm-hmm. I could see you doing that, you son of a bitch.
I think the Leprechaun one would be the only one I could do that with.
Yeah.
Everything else, you couldn't do. You can't do a full-fledged movie about a guy wanting to poop, or a woman wanting her guy to poop on her chest, or...
Even though we were trying to originally give her, like, a wedding band.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
It's...
Like I said, I legitimately feel like seeing that I was stumbling today, like with my talking and whatnot, I feel like legitimately I have lost some serious brain cells. And there's no way I'm going to get that hour and a half or however long that fucking movie back in my life. It's
even the way how it nearly ended before the Terrence Howard bit. It feels like they gave up.
Yeah, like, there was nothing else they could put in this movie, because they just didn't... They ran out of friggin' ideas.
It's because when I was originally hearing about this movie, it was supposed to be these kids at home trying to find the most banned movie of all time on the internet, and that was what the premise was originally going to be. I had no idea it was going to involve... Excuse me. It was going to involve Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, I mean, apparently Dennis Quaid... forced himself into going into the movie, I mean, into the whatever fucking office he was in,
production.
By blowing a security guard.
Who was Will Sasso.
Will Sasso, of course. And for them to get in, you know, for him to hire some poor-looking kid to, you know, just to sit next to him for, like, $40, just to, yeah, it was just wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie... I can highly suggest not to see this movie.
I would suggest not seeing it in theaters. If you ever rent it, just skip to the good one. Just skip the bad ones. And, like, watch, I say, the Hugh Jackman one, the Sean William Scott, Johnny Knoxville one, and that's really it.
Yeah.
Those are the only two.
Not even the Holly Berry.
No. Even though it was funny seeing Stephen Merchant have a cock tattooed on his face.
Yeah, that was okay. That was okay. But this is the concept of, like, elementary school humor in the worst format I've ever seen it in. And I definitely hate them for putting out this fucking movie. I can't fathom. It hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to check for a bloody nose later.
I think if I do my math right, when it comes to giving a grade, so there was, like, what, 12 segments, and I really, really...
Was there 12 segments?
I think it was, like, I have no idea how many...
Kind of lost count. I want to say, like, 8. At least 8.
Feature 12 different storylines. Yeah. So 12 different storylines. There's the pitch, the catch, homeschool, the proposition. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So 12 segments.
God damn it.
So there was 11 of the stories, and then the one with Dennis Quaid and Greg Kinnear. So 12. And out of all of them, okay, the ones I liked was The Catch. Superhero Speed Dating. That was pretty funny. With Jason Sudeikis and Justin Long and Uma Thurman.
It was just all wrong. It was all wrong. Just go along. Just say what you rate.
Okay, so
stop trying to prove your math, man.
Sorry. So if I like that one, so 1, 2, 3, 4. I like 4 of the segments. 4 out of the 12. So that's a third. So that's 33%.
Just give it like a 2. Jesus Christ,
it's less than a 2.
All right, fine.
1.5.
There you go.
Out of 5.
Sadly, I'm going to just give this the negative 0. I mean, this is almost like going to the Blue Man Group, but except you're not watching the Blue Man Group. You're watching the Brown Man Group, and what they're doing is, instead of using their mouse to, like, make art, they're putting it up their ass and shooting it onto some spinning art canvas and trying to make it look like it's amazing, but just the room, it smells so god-awful that you have to leave because you're ready to puke on everybody, and then they might turn that into an art form, because that's how bad this movie was. I can't fathom this shit. I can't. It's not me.
It's kind of like when South Park did the Adam Sandler is Jack, Adam Sandler is Jill.
Yeah, they're just, yeah, exactly. It's just one fucking... potty joke after another, and it just doesn't make any fucking sense.
Mm-hmm. If you like Zookeeper, fuck you!
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is one of those things where I think legitimately somebody actually ran into the place, held a gun to him, and I'm gonna sell you these stories, and you're gonna do it, otherwise you will get shot. This is legitimately what the movie was about, and I think that's what actually happened. Sadly.
Yes.
So don't go see it.
Okay.
Whatever you can do, don't see this fucking movie.
Makes me wish we kind of did see that Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters movie.
Was that out this weekend?
Yeah.
You fucking jerk!
Listen, you were the one who told me about this movie, first of all, because you said, oh, this is going to be super hilarious, we're all going to go see it. No, it's your idea! You were the one who sent me the trailer to it!
But I said... that might be funny. I didn't say we're gonna go and see this. I said it might be funny, but it was more funny in your fucking perspective than my perspective. I should have. If you want to get drunk, fucking high, or something along those lines, then go see the fucking movie. Then you might have a better time. But for me to be sober and all this other stuff, no, you can't fucking do it. You can't. I almost walked out of there a couple times just pretend I would go to the bathroom because of the fact that that movie sucked dick.
Yeah.
It sucked dick. Literally and figuratively.
Uh-huh. So next... How about next week we'll go see Hansel and Gretel? Because the only other one that's coming out next week is that one about the girl who starts falling in love with the zombie.
I think Warm Bodies would be a great fucking movie.
You want to see Warm Bodies instead?
I would like to see Warm Bodies.
Because of the John Malkovich factor.
I don't care about John Malkovich. I like the concept of the story itself. A zombie falls in love with a live person and starts to come back. That's a beautiful love story.
Okay, fine. Next week will be Warm Bodies. Next week we'll review Warm Bodies. Or if we have time, Maybe we'll go see two movies. I don't know. Depends. I don't care.
I'll see Warm Bodies. That's fine.
Okay, we'll see Warm Bodies next week.
You fucking jerk.
You
should have gave the option. You should have gave it.
I'm sorry. You were the one who said movie 43.
You need to prove this. You need to prove this. Not right now. We can end this.
Okay. So, shall we talk about the video game demos?
Yeah, I guess so. We can talk about them really fast.
All right. So, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. Finally, the demo came out for this. Finally, it's going to be released.
Yeah, when?
February.
Oh, fantastic.
This game has been in the works for how long now? Since 2008?
Yeah, just about then.
And who helped out with this game was Platinum Games, who did Bayonetta, Mad World, and the upcoming Wonderful 101 that's coming out for the Wii U exclusive.
Okay, keep going.
So in this game, you play, instead of Solid Snake, you play Raiden, who is now a cyborg due to an assassination attempt. And in this demo, you get to try the tutorial, you try the first level, and the boss battle with that weird cyborg jaguar with a chainsaw at the end of its tail.
Asshole.
Now, you were having some issues with the camera. Something that I wasn't having issues with. What were you trying to do while you were trying to hack and slash stuff? Were you just like...
I was trying to move the fucking camera at the same time with the left stick when I'm holding down The blade mode, and it's
moving. It doesn't work like that.
Nobody explained it to me that way.
I thought the tutorial should explain it.
The tutorial sucked ass. The tutorial wasn't like, here, hold that trigger down the whole time by itself. Don't use the left stick. Use the right stick. Don't use the left stick. Use the right stick.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make any sense. I'm not used to it. Maybe after a little while I could get used to it, but...
Yeah.
But yet, playing it, it just... Motherfucker, why? You know? I just wanted to kill the bastard. But it didn't happen.
Yeah, you died.
I died.
Something that didn't happen to me.
On easy mode.
Yes.
Yes.
Again.
Because I'm special. So special my IQ has gone down. Now, you know what? You know why? Because I watched movie 43!
So, everything you did that you're going to do today... and mess up with. Let's just blame it on movie 43.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually legitimately going to have to go to my girlfriend and be like, if I do anything fucking any more stupid shit today, it's all on 43. I might be able to regain back some of my brain cells tomorrow.
Hey, you know what? They never explained what the fuck movie 43 meant.
No, they didn't. But I bet there was something after the credits, and I'm telling you, I couldn't stay. Even though all those... That fat guy, even though I don't think he could have gotten out of there, I think he needed to be wedged out of there.
He needed a crowbar.
He needed a fucking crowbar to get wedged out of there, and I'm like, nope, I'm not running to go get it. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
So more or less my concept is all those people that were sitting there waiting for the credits to come down to an end, yeah, I don't think there's anything that special at the end of the credits to have watched at the end. It just, there's no fucking way.
Yeah.
And for them to probably release this on DVD and have uncut shit that was, like, left in there... It's not worth it.
No.
Not worth it.
But going back to the video game, Metal Gear Rising.
Diuretic motherfucker.
I mean, the game looks great. I felt like it controlled pretty well, despite the fact that some of the combos, it takes a little bit to master.
Well, I mean, the sword, when you swing the sword, when I was actually accomplishing the sword swing,
yeah.
It doesn't actually swing on the plane that you put it at. You're trying to put it at this plane, but it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
At least that's what I figured.
But it was nice how detailed it got with the slices, like how you slice up one of the cyborgs and how many little pieces you could transform them into.
Yeah, you could dice and, you know, turn them into fries and all that other shit. But basically, what I'm saying with this setup, the graphics have drastically improved. Everything seems to be a lot better, you know.
The frame rate's great, 60 frames a second. Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful when games can do that.
What they need to do is all the stuff that they did like this. Go back and redo all the other Metal Gear Solids and bring them back up to snuff right now so we can actually play it and understand what the fuck is going on again, because I can't remember exactly what happened in all the Metal Gear Solids that I played.
I just remember the first one, Metal Gear Solid.
I can't remember that one. I can't.
I played the Twin Snakes version, the one that came out exclusively for GameCube, but yeah. I'm hearing what the next Metal Gear Solid game is going to be, that whole Phantom Pain thing that's... that trailer that went up at the Video Game Awards thing is going to play more to the style that you're going to see here, but have the, you know, the tactical stealth aspects of it. This isn't a stealth game like the other Metal Gear games are. This is run, hack, and slash.
Yeah, this is I'm sorry, but you're not going to be able to hide in a fucking cardboard box.
No, you're not going to be like going, ooh, I need to avoid these people. You're going to be like, here you are, motherfuckers, come and get me!
Although for me to get through that level faster, I did walk by all the robots, so.
Yeah.
That did help.
But for the demo for Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, I can give it a 4.5 out of 5. I'm thinking it's a terrific demo, and I am looking forward to seeing what the full game is going to be like.
The demo aspect, I gave it a 4.3.
Okay.
It seemed fair, and it was up there.
Mm-hmm. Alright, and the other demo that came out was for The Cave from Sega and Double Fine, and the legendary Ron Gilbert, who created the beloved Monkey Island series that was on PC when we were kids.
I love the guys from Double Fine.
Yeah.
Because of Trenched.
And Brutal Legend. Tim Schafer is awesome.
Trenched for me. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Trenched.
Or was it now called Iron Brigade?
Yeah, Iron Brigade. I hate that. Should have been Trenched.
I know. But for this demo, they give you the first task, which is trying to escape this blue spiky dragon. And it's got the puzzle aspect where you got to figure out, okay, there's something here.
Three characters to do this puzzle. It takes a little bit to get used to because you're trying to figure out what the hell actually to do.
Yeah, and the gameplay does change depending on which characters you use, and so does the level layout. So you can play this game like three different times with different characters.
How many characters were there? There was
seven.
There were seven characters, so that they can have 49 different ways to do it, basically.
Yeah.
So for them to go through that aspect. That's a lot of work.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, the graphics are okay. Mm-hmm. They're fair. They're pretty cool, especially for a little like side scroller ant kind of thing. I want to say like an ant farm style.
And it was pretty funny, especially with the narrator.
Because of the fact that I was trying to just whip through a couple of things really quickly, and it's like, oh yes, because of that, and flip over to next, like, well, okay, yeah. Well, the next one.
Sure.
Oh, somebody is impatient. You're goddamn right I'm impatient. Don't make me come into the fucking game. I'll kill you. But no, it started off really funny with how, like, he's just like, well, don't be afraid of my sultry voice, and blah, 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 and this and that.
Yes.
And I am a cave.
I'm a
talking cave. Don't tell anybody about that because it's a really hard thing to get girls or something like that.
Yeah.
So he kept on going like that. It was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. But altogether for the demo, it was short. But I do want to play the full version of it. When I was at E3, a couple of guys in Double Five were showing it off. They did a great job with the presentation of it. And it does look very entertaining. So I'll give the demo 4 to 3.8 out of 5.
I'll give it 3.82.
All right.
That sounds right. But how much is it for Xbox Live points?
1,200 points. But remember, you're getting different gaming experiences depending on which three characters you choose each time.
I would keep picking Hillbilly, the time traveler, and the Knight.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Knight. The Knight's cool. And the Time Traveler is even awesomer because they float around.
Mm-hmm.
Hillbilly was just the next to last dumbest character that was there.
So before we do our usual spiel of promo stuff, let's give a good old shout out to our buddy Sam Mulligan, because he has a new EP that you can download for free on Bandcamp, sammulligan.bandcamp.com. Big Hand Band Van Man.
The link will be added onto our podcast here, so you can check it out.
And it is also on our Facebook page, too.
Yeah, we already got it up there.
Yep. So, and look at this. He gave us a special thanks. The S Crew.
Yay.
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 So, remember, visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. And Bluonic is under Bluonic.
I used my Twitter account the other day to tell Marv Albert to stick it.
Did it feel good?
Nah. I don't know. It didn't feel as gratifying as it did. It did show up on, I think, one of them.
Yeah, it did show up on Facebook.
No, but I mean, it did show up on one of the links that I put on there, because I'm still not sure what the hell you do with Twitter. I mean, I put it in for at Nesson, and then at the Celtics, and then at whatever else I could put it on. And it sucks, because that takes away from your lettering.
Yes.
Which is stupid. You should be able to just tag it on the side or something like that. But yeah, we're also on Facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade. Still trying to shorten that, but I don't know what the hell we could do to shorten it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can add a second URL
aspect
to it. Motherfuckers. But anyways, BostonBastardBrigade.com. You know, you could go on there, check us out there. But more or less, B3Crew.com is the easiest way. But Facebook, just type in BostonBastardBrigade. You can find us on there. Ask us, comment, question. Everything, that would be the fastest way to get to us.
Yep.
MySpace can burn hell.
You don't like the new version?
Fuck it.
Okay. We're PAX East bound?
Yes, we're PAX East bound.
I'll be at Anime Boston this year. I'll be at E3. So we've got at least 3 conventions under our belt that's going to be happening in 2013. I mean, who knows? Maybe we might do a couple more. So look out for more info on that as the dates get closer. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
What?
Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.